Here we go. What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Periodic Table. This is the weekly science news show where we talk about the hottest science news stories of the week. I bring on an amazing panel of people to talk to you about what we've learned, and none of us are experts by any means, but we are all
speak for
here.
Yourself, Hannah. Speak for yourself.
We are all here in one big virtual science classroom, as I like to call it. And if we can leave this show just a little bit wiser for it, then that's good enough for me. I am, of course, your host, Brandon Hanna. I am a mechanical engineer. You might know me as a host formerly over at AfterBuzz TV or the Popcorn Talk Network, or, of course, over at the Movie Trivia Schmodown. But today, I'm here to talk to you about science, and I have a great panel to do it with me. Starting off to my immediate left, your right, you might know him as a very talented musician, associate producer over at the Schmodown Entertainment Network, and self-proclaimed math boy. It is Alex Marzonia. Welcome.
Hello, Brandon. Hi, Kaiser. I hope Hello. You guys are doing great today. I'm excited to talk some hot science news with the hottest people in town.
Oh,
pretty hot over here, pal.
Speaking of hot, he is a hot producer, actor, and comedian. And you might also know him from the movie Trivia Schmodown. It is John Kaiser. Welcome to the show.
AKA John Sucks at Math Kaiser. I'm Alex, do you compete under the name Math Boy? Is that your nickname in the Schmodown? Like, if you were to.
That really should be. I haven't considered it, but now maybe I'll take that moniker. Yeah.
I just don't like the word boy in anything, but maybe math something. You got to lose that boy shit.
B-O-I. It's B-O-I, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different. So
it's completely different. Totally.
Hannah,
different.
I used my one swear card early. So.
All right. You choose when to use it. It's so like an X-Men.
I used it early. I didn't even think about it.
But guys, we have an amazing show for you all here today. We're talking about Earth sweeping up 5,200 tons of extraterrestrial dust each and every year. Yeah, you heard that right. Also, bandages made from crab shells that speed up the healing process of wounds. Wow. What can be the implications of something like that? We're going to talk about it. And of course, we have our special segment. I am bringing back healthy habits because it's really important to talk about health all the time and what we can all do right now to just stay a little bit healthier as we all sit at home doing Zoom calls and so forth. Six tips to build more movement into your day. Very excited to talk about that. But before we do, let's jump all the way back up to our top story of the week. This one comes from Science News. And guys, the links to all the articles are always in the description down below. We're talking about the Earth. It sweeps up 5,200 tons of extraterrestrial dust each year. And they apparently come from meteorites and comets and asteroids. You name it. It's crazy. I want to talk about it. So guys, as our planet orbits the sun, it swoops through clouds of extraterrestrial dust, apparently. And several thousand metric tons of that material actually reaches the Earth's surface every year. And during three summers in Antarctica over the past two decades, researchers have collected more than 2,000 micrometeorites from three snow pits that they'd dug. And I actually have a picture for you guys right now. This is actually
researchers, the world's largest refrigerator.
That's a really great way of putting it. This is researchers in Antarctica hunting for meteorites. They are literally digging through trenches of snow that they later melt and then sift through it like you're sifting for gold to find space dust. So it really is incredible how they do this. And this must be an insanely tedious process.
They used to send balloons up in the air to catch these particles.
Oh,
and really? So it's probably someone's like, well, how do we get more? And someone's like, well, just dig a ditch in Antarctica and build the world's biggest refrigerator. And it's brilliant, bro. It's brilliant.
It sounds like something out of a science fiction horror film for sure. But before I get into this any further, Kaiser, let's throw it over to you first. What was your overall impressions on this article? Did you learn anything new? Anything stood out to you? And if I'm not mistaken, you might have some experience in this very specific extraterrestrial subject.
I do. And it was very ironic. And I'm not, look, here's the deal. You guys know, so when I say you guys, I mean you, Hannah. I don't know if Alex knows, but I worked on a show called Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman. It was on the Science Channel. It was literally the best show I've ever worked on in my life. A, because it was interesting and couples weren't throwing, you know, pots and pans at each other, like the normal schlock that I work on. It was entertaining, education. I got to work with one of the greatest human beings on the planet, Morgan Freeman. But we did an episode called, I believe it was, Are Aliens Inside of Us? And you could probably Google it, and I bet you could watch it for free somewhere. And one of the things it talked about is humans walking around with these particles from space literally inside of them. Like, so I don't know if you know what transposons are, but you want to Google that. Transposons are like alien entities that are literally living in our body. Okay, so like they've impacted our genome, our code. So like these transposons, they theorize, are literally how the foundation of antibodies in our immune system. And they attach to the genome, and they cut and paste themselves throughout. And so, like, as we all know, like, DNA is passed on generation after generation after generation of our ancestors. Those ancestors have been living with these same transposons in their bodies. You know, some of these transposons do nothing to your body. Some can cause disease. But they theorize that that's where, like, the human, you know, immune system is born out of, literally, like, space particles, so to speak. So that's interesting. And I mean, there's a further discussion, but, you know, about how they got here, but we could talk about that later. But so, yeah, look up transposons, because I wonder if what they're finding in this, you know, giant meat locker are these sort of part, like, what kind, I'm curious to what they're finding in there. Like, what are the particles? Because some of these particles that come into our atmosphere are alien to Earth, right? So like, you start looking at particles in the stratosphere, for instance, anything that's coming into the stratosphere must be coming raining down onto Earth. Because I think just by the general laws of physics, let's say there's an impact on Earth, it can only send particles flying so high, is what I'm trying to get at. So if you're going to say, well, particles in the air because of what could possibly be shot off of the Earth's surface, that could only go so high. Stratosphere, on the other hand, which is like higher than where they fly planes, I think traps some of those particles. They would send balloons up to catch these particles. Some of them had titanium shells. Like, there's no particle on Earth that comes from Earth with a titanium shell. So they theorize that these are coming from possibly comets. So it's just a huge, interesting discussion about all of these particles. And now that you're finding out that they're trapping them in the meat locker, I want to know what they're finding. What are they? Like, you know, once they diagnose these particles, I want to know what they're finding. And I think that's still to be determined, right? Because I don't know if there was any further follow-up on it, like what they're finding. Was there?
I don't think so. But like you said, it is really incredible how they are, like, finding these particles and doing the research and doing all this legwork. And it says here in this article that Antarctica is a perfect repository for micrometeorites because there's no liquid water to dissolve or otherwise destroy these particles.
Can't taint it, right.
When they land in the ocean, they just kind of dissolve and disperse, right, and they lose their identity completely. It's impossible to recover them. But when they're frozen in the snow, we still have something to actually to look at and research and learn more about, and it comes from space, which is pretty crazy. But Alex, I want to throw it over to you next. What was your overall thoughts on this article? Was this something that was surprising to you? Did anything really stand out to you as something that really piqued your interest?
I mean, I don't think it's very surprising that there's a lot of dust coming from space just because of, you know, Earth moving, you know, all the time. But what did impress me was just the scale of it, like 5,200 tons.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. And so like it's a car weighs about one and a half to 2 tons. So just imagining, what is it? 2,600 cars, maybe like the Rose Bowl parking lot on a good concert day. Like, that's how many tons of particles there are each year, I believe. Yes. So just that. And like each particle is a micrometer, which is a millionth of a meter. So it's just very interesting to think of the scale.
And it's all alien. It's all alien. It's not from this Earth. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We all have a little alien in us.
We do. We're all star stuff, said Carl Sagan. So, you know, I fundamentally believe we have alien in us. And that's an, you know, like once you stop using the term as the guy with the big forehead who eats a lot of Halloween candy in Spielberg's flick and look at what the word alien really means, you know, I think it even helps you understand what could possibly be going on with this UFO phenomenon. I'm trying to open up that box of worms, that Pandora's box, Hannah. I know I said the UFO word, but I'll get off that train.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, though. And Alex, you're talking about the scale of this all. And it says here also in the article that the areas in which they found these micrometeorites in Antarctica specifically only span a few square meters. Only a few square meters is what they're able to uncover. But they can just assume that all this extraterrestrial dust, how much of it spans over the entire Earth's surface.
Right.
That completely gets lost, but Antarctica seems to be this perfect place to preserve this extraterrestrial dust and these meteorites, where otherwise, like if it landed in Los Angeles, it would be completely lost amongst the smog and it's gone forever. You don't even know that it landed here. So,
but it's like we're talking about potentially multiple different sources of these particles. So it's like, I imagine they're going to see something like, we know that's from a comet. We know that's from a meteorite. We don't know what the fuck this is. Like we can't even begin to tell you, like, it looks like something we know, but it has X, right? So like, that's what I'm really interested in, is when they can start to dissect these things and literally put it on a chart. Like we found A, B, C, D all the way down. That's what I really, the follow-up to this, I think, is going to be interesting. The human ingenuity to pull off this, you know, device, so to speak, to trap these things is really cool and remarkable. But I want to know what they find. I want to know what they're going to trap, you know.
I wonder if they trap enough of it. Could they go all Lex Luthor and, like, create land from it?
You want to create Otisburg?
Yeah. What a Superman Returns reference? Oof.
I went with the OG Super.
Yeah. It was a blend.
Yeah, well, young and old. There it is.
Not that old though. But no, you're right. They know exactly where these meteorites come from. It says here that 80% of the micrometeorites originate from comets that spend much of their orbits closer to the sun than Jupiter, according to their estimations. But much of the rest probably derive from collisions of objects in the asteroid belt, and altogether these tiny particles deliver somewhere between 20 and 100 metric tons of carbon to Earth each and every year. And that could be, they say that it could be and could have been an important source of carbon-rich compounds, such as amino acids, very early on in Earth's history. So this doesn't just tell us about the Earth and the solar system right now, but this kind of also unravels potential theories of the Earth's past and how things came to be, dare I say, life.
You're talking a key ingredient to the primordial soup, is what you're saying.
Potentially.
I think you're right. I agree with that.
It might be a rabbit hole to dive down, but I think it's a fun one. It's an interesting one. It poses a lot of questions, right? So it's very fascinating to me just how much extraterrestrial objects coming towards Earth played a part in early life.
So Hannah, it's saying nearly 100% is either from meteorites or the asteroid belt?
Yes. 80% they believe originate from comets, and the rest from collisions.
So does that leave a 20% we don't know what the rest is factor? Is the unknown? It's the X-Files guy in me wants to know what the other piece, you know?
Yeah, I think it's it said 80% from comets specifically, and I believe the other 20% comes from collisions of objects in the
asteroid belt. Well, that brings up a bigger conversation, because then if you do indeed go into the stratosphere issue of this ball and you can look into this, you'll start to find things they don't know that are truly alien in origin.
Yeah.
These other particles. So yes, lots of particles in the atmosphere. Some on the ground.
Yeah, the article even actually comes with another photograph, which I will share
there you go.
With you guys right now. These are five micrometeorites that were found during excavations in Antarctica, and they say it's just a smidge of the roughly 5,200 metric tons of space dust that fall to the Earth every single year. So these are some really nice close-up shots of these micrometeorites, and that is just crazy. I mean, it's almost like you're looking at little tiny asteroids that have landed on Earth, which is just absolutely incredible. That one in the upper top left almost looks like the dwarf planet Ceres to me. So that's really cool. And you can see they come in various different shapes and sizes, and it truly is incredible just to kind of like look at an object that you know for a fact came from outer space.
I think
it's pretty cool. So
have you ever been to the Hayden Planetarium in New York City?
I went, I think, at least once in my adult life. I might have gone when I was a kid, but I don't really remember.
When you walk into the lobby and you see that giant, huge piece of meteorite that's like taller than a human being, you're like, okay, that came from space. You know what I mean? Like, that is alien to this planet. I mean, that's wild to stand next to something that, but like, yeah, I mean, what we're talking about is a small piece of a whole, but like, yeah, it is remarkable just to the human interaction of it all. Is pretty wild.
Yeah, it is truly, truly incredible. But we'll just have to wait and see what more discoveries come from these micrometeorites and all this extraterrestrial space dust. There sure is enough of it on planet Earth to study. I guess they just have to dig deep enough in Antarctica, and we'll see if there's more developments on this story in the future. I'd love to bring it back up as a topic of discussion.
One last thing, Hannah. Now think about this. 4.5 billion years ago, our solar systems were a lot closer than they are now, right? So if you think about solar systems being closer, spinning around each other faster, that's kicking up a lot of like solar space dust particles, which I think, could you imagine, you know, going back 4.5 million years and what particles were, you know, hitting what is now our Earth or whatever. And like, to me, it lends a little credibility to what you were saying about the potential of these particles being, you know, the building blocks of life. And so to me, that's just an interesting conversation, my man.
Yeah, it is. Like, that's the big question, right? Like, what does this have to do with the building blocks of life, if anything at all?
Right.
That's certainly the big question that we are not going to have an answer on, unfortunately. I don't think any.
I thought Alex had the answers. Isn't that why you brought him?
Yeah. Alex, what are the answers? What is the answer to life and the meaning of the universe?
I'll get back to you in a few years once I figure that out. But I promise that this will be the first show that I reveal it on.
Awesome. We will have the breaking exclusive scoop here on this channel.
And I think send him a contract, Hannah. Get him under contract right now.
I think this is a beautiful transition before we move on to our next topic. you're gonna hear the exclusive of the meaning of life in the universe and all of existence right here on this channel. So make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that little notification bell so you don't miss a thing, because you don't want to fall behind on the meaning of life and the universe and all of existence. So hit that subscribe button, like this video. If you're in the live chat, if you're watching with us now, let us know that you're here. Let us know your thoughts on these great science news topics of today. And if you're watching on the replay, leave a comment down below. We'd love to have you join in on the conversation. So let's move on to our next topic. And I think Alex seems pretty prepared to discuss this one. We have bandages made from crab shells that speed healing. So this comes from Science News for Students, and they say that medicine could become an important use of something called chitin, I believe. I hope chitin. That's how it is. Chitin?
Chitin.
Thanks. I knew Alex prepared for this.
Gesundheit.
Chitin, which is, well, something that comes from seafood shells such as crab claws, and you know, lobster shells, I would imagine. And so a new medical dressing that helps wounds heal faster comes from chitin, and it is an innovative ingredient in structural material in the skeleton, scales, and shells of marine animals and insects. And this is a polymer that is second only to plant cellulose as nature's most abundant material and as a natural waste produced by seafood processors. So it costs very little, it's very easy to get, and it's already something we're putting to waste So it's just a matter of being like, hey, don't throw that out. Bring that over here. We got mm-hmm. some good for it. And it might even just be better in some ways to plant cellulose, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Alex, I want to throw it over to you first. What was your overall thoughts on this article? Is this something that maybe you were aware of or something you were learning for the first time? Was there anything in this article that really stood out to you that you went like, wow, this is like really cool and I want to learn more and there's potentially some future scientific implications going forward?
Right. Yeah. This is the first time I've heard about it, but it's pretty cool. Like I do eat, I'm a pescatarian, so I only eat fish and stuff. And yeah, like there is a lot of things that are discarded from the fish. I know that the Philippines, we do have a mindset of like, use the whole buffalo essentially.
Yeah, Italians, we're the same. We eat the intestine, the whole nine.
Exactly. So I think this is better for the earth, better for humans in general. It's cool that I saw that there is the body can break down chitin better than cellulose. And so the fact that it can be used in like internal surgery, internal bleeding, surgeons apply dressings inside the body to stop internal bleeding caused by serious injuries. And if they use a chitin gauze, then they don't have to do a second surgery to remove the gauze. So I think that's a very cool thing for innovation for chitin.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like obviously a big deal, right? You don't have to go through that extra step in the process of removing it. And
like some Wolverine level self-repair, man.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we could all be like Wolverine minus the bone claws, which are
I think I'd make better. I'd make a better Juggernaut. Big head, run through walls, very salty. I could see our boy Alex being Nightcrawler for sure if he was one of the X-Men. And I gotta give Hannah Beast. I think we're looking at Beast, the Juggernaut, and the Nightcrawler right here.
Okay, I could take
one
that.
One night only.
I'll take that. He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy.
Very smart guy. He's got a short temper like you too.
Whoa! What would you say, boys? apparently, chitin was something that researchers knew for a long time. Helps fight germs and shows to promote wound healing. So they kind of just figured, and these were researchers at Wuhan University in China. They just kind of had the bright idea going like, hey, like maybe we can make a gauze out of this and it would speed up healing better than traditional cellulose-based does. And so they decided to test that and they made the dressings out of different chitin-based fibers and they tested them on rats, actually, which is what we test everything on, apparently. Even in The Amazing Spider-Man, that's what they tested the lizard thing on, you know. I know movies.
I know movies.
Yeah, I know movies. I know movies.
Alex knows movies. I know a little bit about movies.
But then they monitored the wounds under a microscope, and the best performing chitin gauze sped the growth of new skin cells and blood vessels. And the treated wounds also developed stronger collagen fibers. And that collagen is a protein that is the main building block of our bones, muscles, skin, and other body parts. And it helped strengthen and smooth the regrown skin. And since chitin excels at fighting germs, the researchers suspect that the new dressing also would cut the risk of infections down. So this seems like a pretty like catch-all type solution. It limits the possibilities of infections. It's more in line with your skin and you don't have to go through any type of crazy process to remove it when you're done. So this seems like it could be a pretty big breakthrough, a big discovery in the world of medicine. And, you know, they mentioned in the article, though, they only treated it on small wounds that would have naturally healed on their own over time. Mm. But the chitin dressings, they sped up the process. But what I think they really want to, going forward, figure out how this chitin helps heal larger wounds that maybe wouldn't heal so easily on their own. And if they're is some sort of use for the chitin dressings for much more severe injuries. And if that is the case, that could obviously be something really, really huge and potentially save lives in the future, rather than just going like, oh, I got like a cut or a burn or something that's going to heal on its own, but I can cut down the time of it healing, which is great. But if they can kind of take that and use it to save lives, I think that would be something really, really major. So Kaiser, I want to throw this over to you. Do you have any additional thoughts? Did anything in this article stand out to you that maybe we didn't touch on yet, or just overall impressions of the chitin gauze?
Well, I was going to go take a quick chitin, but I guess I'll wait till after the show to do that. I had to make a bad bet because you said shitting first, which, you know, I'm going to expose your joke. My light went out. Anyways, no, what I was thinking is you throw a box of, you know, don't throw away those lobster shells. Throw them in your medicine cabinet next to the Band-Aids and the peroxide. And, you know, maybe you can, you know, make yourself a lobster shell bandage. And, you know, that might be the way to do things in the future. You know, I don't know. I find it fascinating that seafood is, you know, could be used to save lives. That's pretty wild. I mean, especially in coastal communities, I imagine something like this, you know, with low-income coastal communities that don't have, you know, excellent medical services, if there's a way to kind of, you know, monopolize this technology and help save lives, that's pretty wild, I got to say. But my favorite desert island seafood, salmon belly all day long. Yeah.
Desert island.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite desert island. If I could have only one desert island seafood, I'm going salmon belly.
I think honestly, I would be lucky enough to just catch any kind of fish and fry it and cook it over.
You look like a cod guy. You look like a cod guy.
I do like cod, but I think cod is high in something called sulfites, which I realized from the allergist I now have a sensitivity to.
That's a whole other show talking about.
I mean, if I had to eat it for survival, I suppose it'd be okay. I might be a little itchy though. I might have some stomach pains, but
okay.
I think I'll be okay. Fingers crossed. Hope I'm not in that position.
Alex, you're a pescatarian. What's your desert island seafood?
I go with tuna. I'm a tuna. Yeah. Tunaman. Yeah, like give me some. You can have it like raw, like in sushi, or you know, dry it out and put it in some tuna cans or whatever. I think that'll be my fish, my seafood of choice.
Tuna's good.
Yeah. Squid, maybe, just because it's a little chewy, make it last a little longer.
You can't live your whole life on squid. By day three, you'd be like, I'm sick of chewing on this rubbery. And I like it, don't get me wrong, but like, you'll off yourself before you'll eat squid the rest of your life.
I like the 15th calamari. I'm like, I'm over this.
Yeah, man. Tell me about it. I'm with you. See if I can plug this light back in somehow.
It's all right. I think you look pretty good. Oh, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah. The past two times I've been pitching Nolan films based on one of the stories. So I think this is one here. This story could fit into one. I don't think it would be the main you know, storyline or main thing they have to get, but the thing they have is chitin things, and so like they're like super like kind of time assassins, kind of tenet like, and then they get shot. Or like what their quick medicine is, a chitin injection or something. I feel like
that's sick, dude. You could see it almost like watch it take effect on the hand.
Yeah.
That'd be a really cool special effect.
Yeah, it's more of an element of the movie, but I think that'd be pretty cool if he could work this.
Well, let's face facts. All Christopher Nolan is elements of movie. They never really add up to anything at the end. I mean, let's just be real.
The guy
can't direct a third act to save his life. Now, Dunkirk is one of my favorite films of all time, but to me, his movies are like thrill ride. Like it's like going to an amusement park. You see what I mean? Like, oh man, I can't wait to ride the Nolan. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, but what did it all add up to? You know, once you wrote it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
I see. I think he just unsubscribed to Brandon's channel though, so. Kaiser, make sure
you know what I think he's a genius. By no means am I just don't, you know what, I did insult the man a little bit, Alex. I said he can't direct a third act. I'm going to retract that statement. I don't personally enjoy the third act of most Christopher Nolan films, and I think he should hire a different screenwriter than his brother. That didn't sound as bad, did it, Alex?
now Jonathan Nolan is now unsubscribed. Yeah,
we can talk shit about him until we're blue in the face.
Okay? We've lost the Nolan brothers, but that's okay.
I love Dunkirk. It's the most rewatchable Nolan film, I feel.
I'm a fan of that movie as well. I think it's pretty good. But no, Alex, you right off the bat made a really great point about something mentioned in this article about, and I've reiterated it a couple times, not needing a second surgery to remove the gauze once it's been applied. And this is especially true with internal wounds. Sometimes doctors have to use cellulose gauze to stop internal bleeding. So right off the bat,
what about burns? What about burn wounds? Would it be attributed to that too, you think?
I think it would help burn wounds as well, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that would be really, it would be a really great tool to sure. help with any kind of external wound specifically that is relatively small in size. But I imagine they can apply this to burn victims with pretty severe wounds. It really sounds like, based on this article, that is something that would help potentially speed up the process of somebody who has maybe some severe burns on their body. So that is something immediately we can probably see them use this on that would help someone significantly. And also, I think using this on internal wounds, I imagine this has to also help save lives right off the bat on internal wounds, like not having a risk involved with a second surgery and the risk of putting something in your body that then has to be removed in general right. seems really, really risky to me. And
an extra step. It's an extra step.
It's an extra step. And it sounds like the chitin would also just heal the wound faster in general.
Right.
And also right. help prevent infections, like it said in the article. So it seems like, even though they say that there's still a lot more research to do to see what other types of wounds that it can be applied to, immediately to me, it seems like this is something that can be used right away. And there's might hopefully not be too much extra steps involved to have this be something that can ultimately be mass produced mm-hmm. and used in hospitals and doctor's offices across the world. Hopefully in the not too distant future, this seems like something that's really promising to me. So yeah, I think this is a really great story, a really mm-hmm. like interesting story. It kind of like has a little bit of everything that we love to see on this show, testing on lab rats, you know, for one. but and also it's something that could potentially help save lives, which is really great. And you know, I just like talking about optimistic science news stories. I think it's
hell yeah, we need more optimism and more science in our world today.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, everybody yeah. needs a friend like Alex Marzona. Have you ever seen that guy not smile? I mean, come on.
Nope, no, I've never seen
Wait
it.
Wait a minute. Look, he can't even when he's trying not to smile. literally the nicest guy in the world. Next to a guy's pretending to be the nicest guy in the world.
Whoa, hey.
Listen, if I got to take, listen, you know I got to go play that card at least twice a show.
So, yeah, you know, I do get angry really fast, though. So
see, look at that.
But, no, this is a really great story. Before we move on to our special segment, Alex Kaiser, is there anything else you want to add before we move on?
No, man. Listen, maybe I'll become a pescetarian. I might have to go down this Marzona train. He might know what he's talking about. Anybody who's got a smile like that, I mean, he must be attributed to diet. I'm just saying. Plus, the man can sing. Alex, do you attribute your musical prowess to your seafood intake?
For the past 3.5 years now, yes.
Interesting. Okay, well, there you go, folks. Pick up a guitar, eat some soft shell crab, and maybe you could be a rock star someday. Like Alex Marzona.
I believe it. But you know, before we move on, there's a few names in the chat here. Of course, we have Sabrina Ramirez, BCD, and William Belford. Thank you all for joining us. As always, super great to have you here. We have William Belford saying hashtag my science team. I like that.
Are we the science team?
It sounds like we're the science team.
Or at least can roll with that.
I can roll with that too. So let's move on to our special segment for this week, Healthy Habits. We have 6 tips to build more movement into your day. This is also coming from Science News for Students. And the trick is to not wait for a good time to do it. And I feel like this is something that Alex would probably be particularly good at. He's already, I think, mastered getting as much movement into his day as possible. Alex, you're pretty fit guy. You're very health conscious. You talked about your seafood intake and your familiarity with chitin. So you seem like the guy to talk to about this. So let me run through all six just really quick, and then we can try to get into it a little bit deeper. So number one, budget in some mobile breaks. Number two, give yourself prompts. Number three, work with what you have. Four, use the buddy system. So I think we've got buddies in spades on this show, guys. So this one should be really easy. Number five, stand or walk in place. And number six, push for better policies, which I think is an interesting one. So before getting into all that, I'm going to throw it over to you first, Alex. Do you find yourself, when you look at these steps, do you find yourself already implementing a lot of these steps in your day-to-day routine? Are there any in here that made you go, oh, I don't really do this. I never really thought about this. Maybe this is something I want to implement into my life to kind of just make sure I'm more active, I'm moving around more during the day, especially with all of us being at home a lot. It's very easy to kind of just sit down and just la-di-da-di-da, like for hours a day. Right. So Alex, I want to throw it over to you. What do you think?
Well, I feel like I wrote this article. I feel like I already do all most of these things. Brandon, when we lived together, you know, you saw me at my standing desk, like pretty much in my room as well. I had that set up and in the living room. I made sure that I was not sitting all the time, especially being on SCN Live in the mornings now. Like I'm sat for 120 minutes straight. And so I also try to get in morning workouts as well, at least 30 minutes just to, you know, make sure I'm staying active. But yeah, whenever I'm watching a movie, every time I have to use the restroom, I'll do 10 pushups, do 50 jumping jacks, something simple like that, just to make sure that, you know, I'm not just like sitting around all the time. So these are very good tips, and I really like the push for better policies one as well. I feel like a lot of places I've worked at don't have enough standing desks, and I feel like everybody should, because it also helps the blood circulation as well. So I think that's a very good tip to put in there.
I'm a huge standing desk guy. Let me tell you something. I've got, I can go to the sit, I can go to the stand. I got the option. But you're right, Alex. Like when I was working as a story producer in a production office, every desk should be mandated with standing sit. Like that should be on the company. And I don't care if they got to take a little out of the paychecks, whatever they got to do, because all of us were having to bring in our own standing desks. And not that I give a shit, because you know what? That's money well spent. You know what I mean? But a huge fan of that. You know, when you get to be my age, you get the bad hips, the bad knees. And it's like sometimes sitting is the worst thing for you, man. So I'm a huge fan of the standing desk. But yes, man, like I don't know why that's just not mandated in more places.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of people that love standing desk. I do have some coworkers that use them.
I feel more productive, honestly, just at some point. I work in an office setting. You know? Yeah.
Me personally, I like to sit, but I do, I don't know, but I also haven't really given the standing desk a fair shot yet. So, you know, we'll see. That's definitely something that I can work on for sure, is just like making sure I like stand up more, work on my posture. I know, Alex, you're very big on posture. I got to continue to try to work on mine, because I can tend to slouch a lot when I sit down. Well, number one here, budget in some mobile breaks. This is something that I try to do when I'm at work, and it's actually something that they've flowed down from human resources. Just make sure you kind of like try to your best to do this every hour that you're sitting. Just like kind of get up, walk around for 10 minutes, you know, like take a lap around the building if you have to, or just like through some of the hallways. Maybe you work in like a really big office, like just like kind of go for like a walk, like through the cubicle farm a little bit, just anything to just like get the blood flowing, stand up, you know. So that's something that I try to do. We have number two, give yourself prompts. And I think this is kind of like maybe like what Alex was talking about. Like if you're like going to the bathroom or you're watching TV or something, anytime you get up, that's like a prompt to like kind of like do something active, maybe do some push-ups or some jumping jacks. I'm more of a push-up guy myself. I don't know, Kaiser, I think you love doing jumping jacks, right?
Oh, yeah. Since 1962, jumping jacks was the hot ticket in town in the gym. And we, you know, me and Jack LaLanne still do them to this day. the budget in the mobile breaks, my biggest mobile break tends to come first thing in the morning. And I'm very lucky that I live in Manhattan Beach, across the street from a beach. Hannah, you've been down here. You've seen the lay of the land. I can literally walk out and go onto the beach, whether I want to go on the sand and do the whole, you know, barefoot thing, man. Like, so this is going to get real hippie here because y'all know I'm a big Grateful Dead fan. You know, I got Willie Nelson over my shoulder. So what I'm going to get is two things here. You're budgeting a mobile break in nature. Okay. Like, I think people underestimate the therapeutic value of nature, whether that's just some sunshine or some fresh air. And I'll tell you, if I can get out there in the morning, walk 5 miles, because at first I was like, I want to run, you know, I'm an athlete, a former athlete. And I got a buddy named Adam who, you know, he's like 6'5", 290 pounds. He's the guy who plays Navy SEALs on, you know, Shane Black movies. He's like, bro, you don't need to run. You're too old for that shit. He goes, just get out there and walk. You don't need to stop. You don't need to, bro, you don't need to run. Trust me, you don't need to run. And so he got me. So if I realized that, like, if I just walk fast, you know what I mean? That's doing less damage on the knee. I got an old football knee injury, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm getting the best of both worlds there with the, but you're right. But here's the problem is I don't do the break in the middle of the day, but I feel because I'm standing most of the time at the standing desk, I'm still, that's been how I've been budgeting my whole quarantine work from home situation. And it's been great, man. It's been great. It's helped a lot.
Yeah, and I think you knocked out a few of these. Working with what you have, like you said, you live right next to the beach. It's a beautiful area. It's very easy to just kind of go outside and walk around. You can walk along the beach. If you don't have something like that, maybe you have like some good space in your apartment where you can like kind of like stretch, do some push-ups. Like if you could jump rope, like that's just as good as running, jumping rope in place. Like anything,
people who don't have easy access, look, jump in the car, drive, find somewhere 15 minutes from your house. You know what I mean? You may not have the time to drive a half hour somewhere, but I bet you could find something 12 minutes from your house to where it's like, you know what, just this patch of nature, whether it's a park, whether it's a tree, whether it's something, man. I think just getting into that, you know, into that atmosphere, it can just help on multiple levels, man, you know?
Yeah, definitely. We already mentioned standing or walking in place. Like standing desk is a huge, I think, portion of that. There's like the memes of, you know, people's dads that just like walk into a living room and stand while they're watching TV. Like, be an awkward dad. Stand and watch TV. You know?
Stand like, and eat your dinner. My mom's boyfriend stands and eats his dinner unless he's at our house and we're like, sit down. We're Italian.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm doing work here, I have my dresser right here. It's like perfect standing desk height. Only thing is that I'm like 2 feet away from the TV, so I have to like back up while looking at it.
Right.
So I don't hurt my eyes. So. But that's I get that in there.
Yeah. Definitely, guys, like, and pushing for better policies, whether it's at school or in the workplace. Like, if you're finding that your work environment or school environment isn't providing you enough opportunity to be more active, be a little healthier, even if it's while you, even if it's just standing while you work, you know, push for those types of policies. I think is really an important thing to kind of like just make a healthier world in general. So yeah, I think this is really great stuff. So definitely, guys, you know, try this at home. You know, we're all spending a lot of time at home still. So try some of this stuff.
How come you never see politicians getting on the air and saying, okay, here's 5 things I want to talk about today. You know what I mean? You know, just like, you know, you want to talk about scandals and you want to talk about this and you want to talk, why, you know, I don't understand why enough, you know, prominent figures, you will, aren't coming on and having, you know, even come on here for 10 minutes a week, you know, 10 minute inspiration. These are the things that people need to hear, especially now when we're all locked in cages, essentially in our houses, right? We're all working from a freaking box. You know, people are, you know, I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole, but you know what I'm just saying? When just this, these are the kinds of things that help people, you know, emotionally. These are the kinds of things that help people's health and livelihood. So I don't know, man. It seems like these are the kinds of things that people should be talking about, you know, spread the word. That's all I'm saying. Maybe I should run for office. Alex, you want to be my VP?
Sure.
Do it. All right.
All righty. Here you guys. A vote for Kaiser and Alex is a vote for Standing Desk across America.
That's our platform. And Nate,
bro. Give peace a chance, man.
There you go. I love it. And that's a perfect way to, I think, wrap things up. This concludes our topics for today on this week's episode of The Periodic Table. And it was a super fun, amazing show. Super grateful to have Alex and Kaiser here to talk science with us here today. Alex, if the good people want to find you online for tips about staying more active during the day, or maybe if they want to hear some of your music, where can they find you online?
Twitter right there, Alex Marzona. Instagram, just at Marzona. And then if you go to Spotify, it has the Enya in there. So make sure you go to Marzonia. Check that out. I got at least 10 songs there that you'll love. And I have like 11 songs. So
at least 10 songs that you love. One you'll probably just like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But don't forget the Enya, guys. It's very important. Marzonia. Very important. Definitely, yeah, guys, go support Alex, go support his music. He does a lot of amazing stuff. And I'm a fan. Aside from being a friend, I'm just a fan. Honestly,
The guy's a rock star. He really is.
Thank you, guys. And Kaiser, thank you so much for joining us here today once again. I love your little like tidbits of like, you know, helping produce various shows and your experiences like Morgan Freeman through the wormhole and everything. It's really great insight to a little bit more information that we wouldn't normally get. So I love what you bring to the periodic table, as I like to say.
I always appreciate the invite, pal. You know that.
Yeah. So if the good people watching want to find you online and talk to you a little bit more about science or the trials and tribulations of having a pet pig, perhaps, where can they find you?
Yeah. You can find me at my standing desk, usually listening to the Grateful Dead while I bring the greatest reality television that money can buy to the wonderful viewers of TV land. That's where you can. But now I'm going to have to get some Alex Marzona in my playlist because, you know, I love the Dead, but I can only play for so long before I got to switch it up. So I guess that's where you could find me.
Awesome. Great, guys.
I don't have anything to promote. I promote science, man. That's why I'm here.
There you go, guys. Go follow Kaiser everywhere he says so.
I just realized I have three drinks. I have a Perrier water. I got the regular water. I got the iced coffee.
We'll drink them all at the same time.
You're going to find me walking on that beach right now. I'm motivated as hell. I'm inspired. I hung out with two of my good friends, and this coffee's strong. This is like the Italian crap.
I've got my coffee and water here as well.
So guys, many drinks. Marzona, do you need liquids to survive, or are you just by osmosis? Because he's 149 years old, this guy. It's amazing. He's, you know, and he's not even a vampire. I don't know how he does it.
Well, I can't give too many secrets away today. So I can't say that today.
But the secrets will be here exclusive, guys. So make sure you subscribe, hit that little notification bell, and you won't miss a thing. I promise. I'm, of course, Brandon Hanna. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHanna07. If you're watching, you already found my YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Do I have to say it enough times? Please, please, please. I want more subscribers. I want to hit 1,000. The goal is 1,000, though, for real, guys. I know I'm a bit of a ways away, but that's the goal. Would love to break that milestone. So help me do it. And thank you so much for watching in general. If you've made it this far, it means you really are a fan of the show. And I appreciate you watching all the way through, being here with us to discuss science every single weekend. It has truly been a lot of fun for me. And I love doing this show and bringing on, you know, my friends and very talented people who are hosts, actors, comedians, science nerds themselves, to kind of everyone just bring their own perspective and just really kind of personify what this show is. As I say, one big virtual science classroom. So thank you so much for being here. Consider supporting me on Patreon, patreon.com/BrandonHanna. And until next time, guys, as always, thank you for taking time out of your day